This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao. Back in March and April, Wilmington, Raleigh, and Asheville braced themselves for a spike in COVID-19 cases. Now, in the second wave, the state is facing a different dynamic. The highest rates of community spread are now in rural areas. While it's true that the clusters and overall number of positive tests remain centered in the cities, broader community transmission has taken like wildfire outside urban centers. Based on data from the first half of November, rural counties like Bertie, Vance, Hoke, Robeson, Wilkes, and Swain are all painted bright red for critical community spread. That's according to the State County Alert System. It's a color-coded classification system that relies on a combination of three metrics: case rate, percentage of positive tests, and local hospital impact. With me now is Jay Price, WUNC's military and veterans affairs reporter, who has been covering this spread in rural areas. Hey, Jay, welcome back to the show.
Hey, glad to be here as always.
So you have been doing some reporting specifically in Rutherford and Alexander counties and really looking at why the virus has taken such a foothold in rural areas of the state. So tell us a bit about some of those factors.
Well, I'm not a scientist myself. I just play one on radio. But I posed the question, that exact question, to one of the savviest experts on rural health issues in the state, Mark Holmes, who's director of the North Carolina Rural Health Research and Policy Analysis Center at UNC Chapel Hill. And he said, you know, of course, the pandemic got its first footholds here in urban areas where you see transportation hubs. And we saw, you know, some of the first cases were transmitted from professional conferences and work environments in very large urban areas. But of course, it took a while, but it was slowly kind of trickling out into the rural areas over a period of months, even though we put on all these restrictions and started taking all these precautions and were able to get the rates down generally, it was kind of seeping out there. And now, you know, and of course, this is all theory. Every case is going to be different. Every town, every county is going to be a little different. But what you're seeing is substantial numbers of people have gone back to work. And in rural areas, they may be essentially have no choice but to go in person. They have the kind of jobs where they can't just, you know, Zoom to work. You can't cut up chicken or process pork or work in a factory on Zoom. And so they may be side by side with other people. And you, frankly, he didn't say this, but frankly, you're going to see in some counties, people are just tend to not want to wear masks for essentially political reasons.
Well, there's so much in there. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about people needing to go back to work, and that may be the kind of work that they're doing more common to cause community spread in rural areas. This idea of COVID fatigue also came up in your reporting. And I mean, that leads us to the state kind of trying to give really specific information to these counties to help them make decisions based on what is happening in their community. And they've created this classification system, red, orange, and yellow, to really be able to get a sense of what the community spread and transmission is looking like in your particular county. So tell us about this system and how it has been informing the actions in rural counties.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just gotten cranked up, and I don't know that everybody in rural areas is totally aware of it. But the state wanted a better tool, something that was more intuitive to help people, not just in rural areas, but everywhere. You know, all the counties are on there in various colors. And just to help people grasp more quickly and more simply and more easily, you know, what kind of risks they face in their own community, as opposed to, oh, the numbers are huge over here in Charlotte or Raleigh or Durham just because the population is big. That doesn't tell you what kind of risk you face when you go out to get groceries, for example. What they wanted was a tool to help people kind of understand it's really bad right now, so I need to crank up my own kind of personal protection and think more carefully about how much I'm going out, what I'm doing. Or as Holmes said, you know, you might want to rethink, should I go out to this family event where there are going to be 15 people or whatever? It just gives you a better tool than simply raw numbers that just basically tell you where North Carolina's population is. It tells you where the virus is and where it's spreading more quickly and taking a hold in a big way.
So one of the other aspects of the way that the spread is impacting rural areas is the strain that it's putting on the infrastructure there. Smaller county health departments, more stretched hospitals. You spoke to a county health director in Alexander County, which is just north of Hickory, and it's one of those rural areas that the state categorized as facing critical community spread. Let's listen to a clip of what she told you.
There's challenges because we are such a small workforce. So for public health, that is very taxing after you've already had 6 or 8 months of extra work, because we have not stopped the other work. We just added COVID extra work on top of everything else we do. And, you know, we're not meaning to sound like I'm complaining, but at some point you get really tired.
So that is Leanne Wisnant from Alexander County, the Alexander County Health Director. So we're used to seeing Mandy Cohen and Governor Cooper in these state press briefings, but there are so many workers behind the scenes, people like Leanne, who are really on the front lines of managing the spread in their county. Tell us more about her and what you learned from her about the challenges of navigating those concerns in Alexander County.
Well, she's only got a little over a couple dozen workers in her department, and they've had to cross-train because of the workload. They got 5 nurses. They've had to cross-train clerical staff and some other support folks to take on some of the tasks that nurses would normally be doing in these instances, like contact tracing, just so the nurses can be freed up to essentially get their jobs done. And, you know, you mentioned COVID fatigue. When I talked to her, that kind of reared up in two different ways. You know, her staff, when this thing struck, all the frontline healthcare workers were heroes. Now it feels like people have kind of forgotten them to a degree. And, you know, they've been out there hammering away at this thing, even in when the rates were kind of hitting troughs in the summer. Things got a little better, they were still out there dealing with it. And now, you know, they're just, every day they get more and more worn down. All of this has been on top of their regular work. They haven't really, and typically they haven't added staff in these places. They don't have a lot of money to pay for it. So her staff is getting fatigued. The frontline health workers in urban areas are getting fatigued as well. That's one form of it. And then you've got the population in her county. You know, she surmised that in many cases, people have just gotten weary of dealing with kind of the restrictions on lives. So you've got two kinds of COVID fatigue kind of coming together now that we've been at this for so long.
And the governor is really relying on local officials to manage a lot of this. He reiterated in his briefing yesterday that he really needs local governments to help enforce these statewide mandates. He really needs kind of them to be the feet on the ground, telling people you must wear masks, you must limit the amount of people in these areas. Let's listen to a clip from the mayor of Spindale, who talked about some of the challenges in managing public health where he is.
I don't see a lot of change in the way people have been operating the last 8 months. I wish there would be more people wearing masks. That seems to have become a politicized issue all across the nation, not just here. But I feel like if more people were wearing masks, that we could probably control this a little better. But it's everyone's individual preference, and it's hard to regulate.
So that's Mickey Bland, the mayor of Spindale in Rutherford County. And Rutherford is currently orange on that statewide map that we talk about, meaning substantial community spread. So talk more about mask politics in some of these areas that you reported on, Jay, and the challenges that people like Mayor Bland have to navigate.
Well, you know, these rural areas aren't uniform any more than urban areas are uniform. And, you know, some of these counties, you can just look at the electoral map and you kind of want to match up red counties with some of what you see on this alert map. On the other hand, you've got counties that are Democrat majority, strongly Democratic counties that are also rural counties that are getting hammered here too. But I do have to say, you know, I think what the mayor was getting at there is his constituents have strong views on both sides of the mask issue, and the town itself is only going to have so much influence when things are so sharply divided into tribes. The mayor's not going to be able to get up on a pedestal and convince these people if the governor can't, and if the health secretary can't. They're pretty adamant about either they're going to wear it or not wear it. You know, I ride bikes. This is my hobby. I ride bicycles. So I have to cover a lot of ground out in rural areas. And I ride sometimes up in the mountains, sometimes down into Alamance County. And you go in places that there's no sign up that you need to wear a mask in the convenience store. And, you know, if I walk in and I always carry a mask and I always wear it, I might be one of seven or eight people and the rest of them aren't. And the clerk isn't. And you get smirks just for wearing it. You know what the attitude is. This isn't a mystery. But in other areas I've been in, people are just adamant they're going to wear them. You know, people are just so divvied up. And that's what the mayor, I think, was getting at there. And what's on the horizon to fix that? I don't know that the governor is going to be telling the mayor of Spindale to fix this.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting question of messaging. He said yesterday his message to folks who still aren't wearing a mask is we're all in this together. Not quite sure how that messaging will continue to go over in some of these areas, but we'll stay tuned to more of your reporting. Jay Price is WUNC's military and veterans affairs reporter. You can find his story on COVID-19 in rural areas on our website, stateofthings.org. Thanks so much, Jay.
Thanks, Anita.
Just ahead, we're going to talk about some of your most pressing questions about COVID-19 vaccines. Share this with us on Twitter, and we will put them to an epidemiologist. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Anita Rao.